Welcome to Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. I am Gemma Serenity Gorokoff, your host, and today we have Sacred Walker joining us. She is one of the founders of Everyday Superheroes Coaching Institute, and lovemedicineuniversity.com is her website. Welcome, Sacred. Thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you.
And thank you for all you do.
Of course. Thank you. My first question for you, can you please introduce yourself, first of all, with who you are today and with an emphasis on the kind of abuse you overcame in your life?
Absolutely. So, you know, I am today the founding CEO of our company and have been for the last almost 10 years now, which is wild. But I have to admit, I absolutely am someone who has defied stereotypes and should not be here. And I'm so glad that I'm here to be able to tell my story and talk about it. So for those who are listening, I want you to lean in and just see if you can relate to any of these points of sometimes the ways that we navigate things. So I had 3 points in my life where I had to navigate what it meant to be good enough, right? That was a question that I kept asking myself. When I was about 4 years old, I faced this life-altering trauma. And from about 4 to 16, I had a household that was ridden by domestic violence. And I had a home that alternated between chaos and joy. And even amidst that, I still remained diligent in school and at home. So I had this feeling inside of, I had to be this good enough girl, right? And even amidst that, there was violence happening at home. And I was constantly afraid that my dad, who was the person who was perpetuating abuse, physical against my mom and emotional against me as a child, you know, was always going to be that threatening person. And I felt especially protective over my mother. And no matter what happened, no matter how much I did, no matter how strong I was in school, I always questioned, you know, why it was that I couldn't pray it out, or why I couldn't be good enough, or why my grades couldn't be good enough to be able to save my mom. And so those are one of those pioneering moments, those pivotal moments for me that I incorporated into my understanding as growing up as a woman, right? As a young woman, what it meant to be an Afro-Caribbean woman. A second moment in time where I navigated challenge was that I began, as I got older, to write. You know, writing was always an outlet for me. I began to write the challenges that I was experiencing at home. I began to try to find my voice where there wasn't one. And I didn't actually enter into relationships until I was 21 years old. I waited, I held off, because I really saw, is if this is the model for a healthy relationship, I don't want any part of it, right? That's the experience that I had. And so when I entered into my first relationship, I really struggled with what it meant to set boundaries. I ignored all of the red flags, and the person definitely wasn't good to my heart at all. And I had this deep sense of unworthiness. And so I began to turn to everything and anything to try to deal or cope with this thing of being in this relationship that wasn't healthy for me, to the point where when the person broke up with me, I actually felt, and I asked myself, did I even want to be here? I literally felt like that. And I began to take steps to take my own life, right? So the abuse that I experienced outside actually felt inflicted inwardly, right? That sometimes we tell ourselves that when we think we found the right person, it's actually not that, because of the models that I grew up with. So I began to tell myself, am I worthy of living? You know, can I be valued even if I experience rejection? My inner critic began to feel really loud. And I began to really, you know, have this sense of equalizing rejection to love, right? They kind of went hand in hand. And lastly, I would say a point that sticks out to me that really had my inner critic being extra, extra loud was when my mom, I actually showed up at the house. I was traveling more. I had left now. I had said, I'm going to start this new chapter. I was in my early 20s and I went back to visit my mom. She was one of my best friends. And despite the abuse, she had, you know, gone on to do positive things. My father at the time had left the household, and I went to visit, and my sister was much younger than me, very close relationship, very close in family. And my sister opened the door, and my mom opened the door, you know, right behind her with eyes wide open. And she said, who are you? And she looked me square in the eyes and didn't know who I was. And then my sister looked terrified. And I didn't fully understand at the time what mental health issues was a breakdown was, but I knew that something was off. I knew that something had really kind of intertwined in her. And so I took my sister out for that day. And by the end of the day, my mom had been checked into a mental health institution. And so within that week, my dad was diagnosed as being a sociopath and my mom was diagnosed as being schizophrenic. And so, and after that, you know, things unraveled, we were able to get advocacy and support. And I learned that day what happens when your inner critic not only turns up, when you have an experience of abuse. She had no history of violence, no history of mental health issues, no history of anything that would look odd. But what she did have was a constant fear of feeling under threat. Powerful professional woman in the world, but constantly inflicted on herself. And so based on that experience, it actually was more, you know, they say nurture versus nature. It was definitely the environment that over time she began to experience depressive-like symptoms. And because she felt so alone, she developed internal relationships to help her navigate what was happening in her mind. And so I became the caretaker. I went from being the daughter to the mother. And I'm sure other listeners like myself have had some kind of experience where, you know, whether you had an unrelenting father, a parent that was diagnosed unexpectedly, or just trying to figure out who you are in this new role when you become a caretaker, you know, something shifted in me. Fortunately, years later, my mom was able to get the care she deserved. I became the advocate that I am today. And through the support of, you know, really learning how to make sure that she never felt voiceless again, right? She felt voiceless by my dad. I did too, right? I had to make sure that that healthcare environment didn't leave her feeling voiceless. And so that was one of the many reasons I feel inspired today about helping visionary women to make sure that they can transform their inner critic. Because sometimes you can tell yourself again and again, I'm not good enough. And I had to be the strong one. And then I had to do my own healing work so that I can make sure that I didn't continue that family legacy that I saw happen in my family to date. And that's some of the things that I went through. And thank God, honestly, once again, just to say, I should not be here. I should be a stereotype. My story absolutely defied the odds. And yet here I am standing with two people, you know, so I always say, just because I came from emotional shackles and poverty, that doesn't mean that emotional freedom and financial success can't come from me.
That is quite a story, Sacred. That is quite a story. I have a very specific question that I did not tell you ahead of time that I would ask. When did you receive your first name, Sacred?
That's a good question, because people always assume, for many different reasons, that that's not my legal name. So I'm always curious about, you know, why people do that. But I will say that, yes, that is a chosen name that I stepped into. Much like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and many others who are of African descent who've kind of embodied a name. And I went through a spiritual ritual, and the name Sacred Walker literally means a bridge between worlds. But I have to admit that I've been calling myself Sacred Walker since I was a kid. Ever since I was a young girl in my household growing up, in our one bedroom, tiny apartment in the poorest parts of Brooklyn, I would lay my teddy bears out and I would dream of going to another place that felt safe and comfortable. And it always felt like a sacred place, kind of similar to the book, My Secret Garden. And I have to admit that when I stepped into my name and I heard that, I knew it was actually always who I was. So technically, it was the name that I came into this world with. I just happened to discover it when I went through a traditional ritual to discover my new name.
It's absolutely amazing. I didn't know what kind of story was behind, but I perceived that it was a chosen name, a received name, to better represent who you truly are. That was my perception. So yeah, that's absolutely exceptional, exceptional. So there is a moment in time when you cannot accept or recognize abusive and toxic relationship, domestic violence, and all that kind of things. You cannot accept and recognize that as being the true way of life. So what is that key decision moment in your life when you made the irrevocable decision that you would not only defy the odds, but you would have a gorgeous, complete life, and it would be so now, today? What is your story?
Absolutely. So I speak more, into this in my book, The Visionary Woman's Guide from Vice to Victory for Emotional Freedom and Financial Success. I have to admit that my turning point may not be what you think. I have, won the Senator's Proclamation for Women's Health. I've had amazing experiences supporting visionary women. My turning point, to be honest, came through pain. You would think that based on growing up in a household of pain, experience in being exposed to both sexual and physical violence, that reproducing pain would not be what I attracted. But interestingly enough, the way the mind works, as a mind, body, health perspective for a moment, I want to just touch in on that. The way the mind works is that the amygdala in our brain, in the back part of our brain there, holds trauma. And so there are times where we lean into what's familiar, that's fear-based. And I definitely did that. I began to develop toxic behaviors where I was over shopping. I was reaching out for foods that did not make my body feel good. I was ending up in relationships where people were seeing me as opportunities for their next level versus being in collaboration. I was attracting toxic patterns and toxic experiences. And I was constantly underestimating myself, constantly, even though I was top of my class and graduating from an Ivy League institution. And so, to be honest, that was my turning point. When I had the pain I was like, oh my gosh, I began to see how much the pain was costing me. And when I started to see how much the pain was costing me, and then I started traveling the world and doing research and talking to other women who I did research about gender-based violence in Jamaica. And there were women who were doing the same things that I was doing, reaching for the same coping mechanisms, for the same vices. And then I started having conversations with women. I just came from doing a presentation on the West Coast to 1,800 women, having conversations, right? About what happens when we second guess ourselves, when our trauma, right, from our amygdala has us pulling for the same pain that feels familiar. And I said, it has to end with me. And one day, I have to admit, I've been doing this work for many, many years, but I decided to fast. I decided to fast from clothes, shoes, and accessories. I said that I have a powerful, beautiful closet with lots of power suits, and I love to decorate my body as a goddess. I think it's a beautiful thing to show up in the room in a power suit. And I made a decision that I wanted to not reach for the power suit. I wanted to reach for what the power suit represented. Because I was reaching for the power suit because it made me feel good. At least I would get the admiration that didn't come from that first partner who hurt my heart. At least I wouldn't get the you're not good enough from the dad who was always talking down to me, right? At least I would feel comforted by the family who at times rejected me. That's what I was getting from what I was reaching for. And I decided I was going to reach for something bigger. And that's when I started getting invited to stages that were bigger. I started having more opportunities. I stepped into my business in a different way. Because now, instead of just buying the power suit, I bought what the actual suit represented. And to be honest, that's what shifted things. I had to really look at, where is my pain even coming from? And when I realized that I was not the only woman who was navigating this, that's when I said yes to my calling of being a visionary doula and coach.
You have exceptional stories, Sacred. I have never heard that level of stories. Thank you so much for sharing. Truly amazing. Wow. So now you are an inspirational speaker. Now you are a teacher. You are a guide, a mentor. You tour the world. You are such an example. And according to the odds, should not be that way, but just according to the odds, not according to what you do believe is true. Right?
Absolutely.
What, in what ways are you today leading your business, and to whom do you actually cater? Who is your ideal client? What do you offer today?
Absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely. So if you go over to sacredwalkerspeaks.com, that routes you directly to my book, and that'll be an opportunity for you to take any bit of what you've heard today, if any of the vices that I mentioned, or any of the victories that you're ready for, you know, speak to you. That's what I do. I support people, especially visionary women who are struggling with inconsistent habits, their inner critic, or really just want to make sure that they can continue to care for themselves in a deeper way as they're launching their next chapter. Especially for people who are like, oh my goodness gracious, I feel like it's too late for X, Y, and Z to live this fulfilled life, to pursue my passion, my purpose, while I still have sense of peace, right? I've been fortunate to have held space for thousands of visionary leaders all over the world. And I am so proud of this body of work that is a pouring of blood, sweat, tears, maybe not as much blood, but but sweat and tears from a mind, body, health perspective to really help visionaries catch when something might have stopped their goal. Because one of the things that I learned from my mom, when she sat with me and she would hold my hand as she was leaving the inpatient hospital, and I said, Mom, how could you know the difference between your intuition, that voice of God, and your inner critic? How could you know when something is, how could I know that this is coming in you? Because I didn't see it coming. And she said, your intuition, the voice that's lifting you up, is the voice of God. Your inner critic, that thing that's holding you down, that's the voice of your dad. That's not you. And I had to get to the root of that. And so my gift to the world is that this book can help us to no longer blame ourselves and identify that voice inside of you. It didn't start with you, but it can end with you. And I know for a fact that maybe there are some dreams that my mom didn't get to accomplish fully, but I plan to take that further. And I'm about legacy building with other leaders also. So if you're a legacy builder like me and you're a defier of the odds, definitely check out my book and absolutely subscribe to our newsletter, because it would be an honor to send you well-being tips every week. But I do specialize in serving visionary women who want to launch that next level vision that they have while making sure that their quality of life doesn't fall by the wayside.
Thank you, Sacred. I mean, you are such an inspiration, such an example for so many people. So you do not specialize in Black American women. You welcome every visionary woman of every race, basically, of every appearance. Is that right?
So there's both and. So I do believe, as a woman of African descent, as an Afro-Caribbean woman, there are certain things that I have had to navigate in the world that are very unique to my story. There are certain things that growing up in my community that are unique to how I show up in the world, and the ways that sometimes it can feel like the domestic violence hasn't ended, right? I want to be clear about that. And I also recognize that there are my Japanese sisters, my Palestinian sisters, my Indian sisters who I've been fortunate to have seen them launch. I have a client actually who recently in journalism released her own book because she was feeling like she was tired of the clickbaits and feeling like she really wanted to bring her story, her content, her book of poetry out into the world, but her family was saying that she wasn't good enough and are you fulfilling the legacy and, you know, et cetera. And so she had to overcome some of her own vices, her own inner critic to launch. And now she's actually gotten a promotion for what we talked about she would manifest, right? So I've been fortunate to hold space for people of various backgrounds. And my group coaching program that I do have coming up called Self Love for Superheroes Academy, that will be focused in on helping women of diverse backgrounds be able to launch, but not allowing sabotage to get in their way, because this is our season.
I so much agree. This sabotage within ourselves, by memory, by an inner critic voice, by believing and giving meaning to those who talk us down, this sabotage is a huge roadblock. You know, it's very typical when you start to talk with someone who wants to enroll you in their coaching program. They always ask you, okay, so where are you at? What are your goals? And what is stopping you? And honestly, what is stopping you? The only right answer is, well, sabotaging thoughts. And as you are addressing that main roadblock that can take a lot of different shapes, but it's always that sabotaging part of us. And heal that, put that to rest, give peace to that part of ourselves. For sure, then everybody can launch their legacy, step into their power, their truth, step into their chosen identity, the one they feel is the most aligned with them, and not the one that was just like given to them because born here, that appearance, that region, that economic status, or anything else. That's truly amazing. Thank you, Sacred, for doing that.
It's my gift. It's my honor. And thank you for holding space for, you know, real women to break the silence around abuse, because it's, if it's not for platforms like you, then things that we tell ourselves, oh my gosh, is it me? Oh my gosh, I'm a fraud. Oh my gosh, X, Y, and Z. Actually, no, the abuse didn't start with you, but the abuse will end with you. And so thank you so much for having me on your show and being such a gift of healing and transformation. It's an honor to be here.
Sacred, it's an honor to have you. Thank you so, so much.